Okay, good morning. It is Sunday morning, last day of Hope, Hope 9. You're live on Radio Statler. This morning we have the Hactory. We're gonna be talking about hacking the gender gap. And in the studio with me this morning, I have.
Hi, I'm Stephanie Alarcon. I'm from Philadelphia. I work with the Hactory.
Welcome, Stephanie. All right. Well, let's just jump right in and. How are we going to hack the gender gap?
Well, yesterday, my colleague Georgia and I, she'll be here in a minute, we did a workshop that we've done a couple of times called Hacking the Gender Gap. And the point of the workshop is to use people's stories about positive and negative experiences in technology to sort of immediately pop up visual data along a timeline. So the way that it works is we do a little introduction, we go through a little bit of the research on how the gender gap emerges and why. And then we jump right into an exercise where people take pieces of paper and write down stories of positive and negative experiences. They mark down just tiny bits of data like their age at the time, the year that it happened. And in this case, we also had people indicate their gender. And you can choose any gender you like. And then we actually post the pieces of paper along a timeline where the age at which the thing happened is indicated by index cards along this basically just a piece of string. So what we get from that is that when we have a workshop full of 10, 20 people, we end up with these clusters of positive and negative experiences that happen at different ages. And from that, we get to analyze the data in conversation, looking at things like, did these experiences, were they affiliated with a particular person, an authority figure, a type of technology? What were the frustrations? What were the things that got people past frustrations? What are the things that encouraged them to keep going? That sort of thing. And it ends up being a really interesting discussion.
Okay. If I could just go backwards a little bit, what is the gender gap, and how is coming at it from a hacking point of view advantageous?
Well, as you may have noticed in your experience with technology, there are a whole lot of more dudes than there are women.
Sure.
working in both professionally in technology and hacking around.
Yeah, we've had actually a couple of talks already this weekend on that subject.
I've been a systems administrator for quite a while, and got into the hackerspace scene a couple of years ago. And this spring, when we decided that we wanted to address this issue a little bit more directly, we figured, okay, well, what kind of hacking approach can we take to this? I had been to a lot of conferences where these discussions come up, and there was a lot of like sort of hand wringing and like, well, how does this happen and what do we do?
Right.
And we really wanted to get past that stage of the conversation and really get into like, let's really look at this in a deeper way and come up with some data that we can actually crunch. And you know, we're crunching it in a very soft way right now, but we've done it three times, so we have three different sets of people who have contributed stories, and we think that over time we can put this up on the web and start crunching it for different demographic data, like what historical trends were happening as people were having these positive and negative experiences, how does ethnicity factor in, how does the local, how does like your the place where you live impact how all this happens. One of the interesting pieces of data that we were starting to pick up on that we saw right away actually was the younger a participant is, the more likely they were to have a positive experience very, very early in life building a website. Because
okay.
In the past couple of years, it's in the past, you know, let's say 10, 15 years, it's become a lot easier to build a website as a child.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one of the interesting historical things that's come out.
Okay. Yeah, I was going to ask if you've been able to draw any preliminary conclusions on based on the data you've collected so far. All right. So you've collected all this data. You're going to collate it. What sort of conclusions are you like predicting anything in any way?
We can make some predictions based on based on the research that's already happened. So there have been lots and lots of interesting studies by pretty important mucky mucks like like Floss Pauls, like National Science Foundation, like American Association of University Women. So the academic community knows a fair amount about why the gender gap emerges. So mm-hmm. we can kind of hypothesize based on that. But it's just as interesting to me to hear what people actually say. And what we're seeing is some patterns are emerging that definitely correlate between what we're seeing in the research and what we're hearing people say. For example, negative experiences early in life with an authority figure seem to have an impact that lasts kind of forever. Like, people remember a teacher telling them that they can't do math entire life.
Oh, sure.
But they also remember sitting down with a parent. Like, one participant finally remembered playing Pac-Man with her mom. We've got a lot of like positive experiences with fathers early in life. So we're seeing this sort of like mentorship thing play a really big role. And that's also what the research says.
Okay, cool. Do you have any particular? This is just something you had a general interest in. What really drew you to it in the first place?
That's a good question. As you know, when I was super little, I've been a feminist for longer than I can remember, literally, and so it was always interesting to me to get into activities that were outside of the traditional gender lines. So becoming a cis man is something that I sort of fell into, but it was interesting and was pretty informative. And then about 2 years ago, a friend of mine asked me to speak on a panel about women in technology, and I felt like I really needed to dig in a little deeper and see, like, really what is the anatomy of this problem. So it was about 2 years ago that I started doing reading about it. And then earlier this year, we were asked to participate in a Women in Tech Summit in Philadelphia. And we decided that rather than just doing a soldering workshop or something, we thought that as a hackerspace that has an unprecedented amount of female leadership, that we had something sort of extra that we could contribute. So we designed this workshop, and that's how it came to be.
Okay, so the first workshop was just sort of sprung from this talk you went to in Philadelphia, and you said, oh, hey, we can do this. If we do this a couple of times, we get more data points and actually make a whole thing out of it.
Yeah, the more we do it, the more people get excited about it. We repeated it at Ada Camp earlier this year, earlier this week, rather. So Ada Camp is a non-conference that was put on by the Ada Initiative. They're a nonprofit that supports women in open tech and culture. So we did a session there, and it was great. It was very on point. The analysis was super sharp, and the conversation ended with, wow, this is really cool. What can we actually do with this data? How do we get it up on the web? How do we start doing some data crunching on it?
Right.
So people are excited about it.
Cool. Have you collected any data here at Hope? Or are you going to be giving a presentation later today or this weekend at all?
Yeah, we did a workshop yesterday, and that was the first public workshop that we did that was that had a significant number. Well, that had any men. We did it with our friends to pilot it before the first time we presented. But this is the first time that a group of men that we didn't know was part of the workshop. It was really interesting. So we have all of the stories collected from that. And yesterday we posted the timeline back up right behind our table in the Hackerspace Village and had people continue to add stories. And I think that we probably will do that again today. So you can come by and keep participating in the workshop even if you didn't attend it.
Outstanding.
Mind if I plug my hackerspace?
No, not at all. We got 15 minutes to fill up.
Fantastic. So, as you said, as we've mentioned, I work with a hackerspace called The Hactory in Philadelphia. It's it was Philly's first hackerspace. It was one of those early kind of 2007, after Chaos Communication Congress Chaos Communication Camp, when everybody came back and was just like, whoa, we heard these talks in hackerspaces in Europe and we want to do this here. So that was an early generation hackerspace that started up. Its personality has changed a lot, and we're largely focused on education these days. Mm-hmm. And we would love if you would come down and buy a t-shirt or give us a donation or something, because we have a very ambitious project coming up. Earlier this year, we won a Knight Arts Challenge grant. So this is a matching grant. We've been we have access to $40,000 if we can raise another 40 by next spring or so. And the reason that we should do this is the director of the Hackers of the Hacktory, Georgia Guthrie, designed a program that's pretty ambitious and pretty awesome. So what we want to do is we want to recruit a bunch of resident artists and teach them, give them residencies and stipends so that they can study how to add interactive technology to their art to augment their work. Then they'll turn around and share their new skills with Philadelphia school students through an after-school program or something like that. Then at the end, we'll have a big exhibition. So this is a way to train new artists or train existing artists to do something exciting with their work in a way that, that we can support, and then kind of amplify that teaching effect throughout the Philadelphia school system and show it off and have some beautiful things to show off.
Sounds really groovy.
Hope so.
Yeah, cool. How can people, so presume that, you know, this is going up on the web and people will be listening to this hopefully months from now. Although they're going up, the guys are putting them out almost as soon as we finish recording them, they're becoming available online. Where can people go to find out what find out about your data and whatnot after you started collating? And
right now, unfortunately, well, I shouldn't say unfortunately. At the moment, we haven't figured out the best way to present it on the web. Right now, we've written one or two blog posts about our successes, and I think we'll probably do that again with our interpretation of what's happened in the workshops. But we did gather a couple people who want to work on putting this up on the web.
Okay.
In some sort of interactive way, so in the future you might be able to fill out a web form and have your data go up onto the timeline right away.
Oh, so people can... okay, so you're trying to get it so that, like, anybody anywhere can contribute to this.
Exactly.
Oh, that would be super cool.
Yeah, that's what we're going for.
So, like, does your hackerspace have a website? Or, like, how can people that might be interested in contributing... Is it, like, at least keep track of the project and find out more about it as it develops?
Well, we've just gotten a new guest who might be interested in answering that question.
Okay, excellent. New guest, introductions, please.
Hi, I'm Georgia Guthrie. I'm the director of the Hacktory.
Oh, yes. We've heard your name. Welcome.
Thank you. So, yeah, if people are interested, they can go to our website, www.thehacktory.org. And we also, you can follow us on Twitter at @the_Hacktory. So we'll be posting updates, and there's a link to our Flickr page on our website, on our homepage, where you can see stories from previous events that we've done. And a lot of people like to scroll through and just read them. They're really interesting.
Okay, super. Still got a few minutes here. I'm not sure if...
Why don't we talk about some of the other projects that we have coming up later this year?
Yeah, sure.
Okay,
go
great.
For it.
Well, sorry for getting here late. I don't know. Did you talk at all about the night grant?
I just described it, but you're welcome to run through it, and then some of the other upcoming things would be great.
Okay. So we won a night challenge grant this year. It's a special program that the Knight Foundation has made available for the cities of Miami and Philadelphia. And it's a 3-year program, so this is the second year they've done it in Philly, and they have about $3 million to give away to arts programs each year.
Oh, wow. That's great.
Yeah, and to apply, anyone can submit anything. You don't have to have a nonprofit status. You can be an individual. You just have to have an idea that benefits the community of Philadelphia and the arts. So the idea that we submitted was kind of intense workshop, like apprenticeship program for artists who want to start to use technology in their work. It would be a lot of the classes that we already teach, like Arduino, maybe some electronics and soldering, maybe some Kinect hacking, stuff with processing. So we won, and it was really awesome. They only picked 35 finalists out of 1,200 applications.
Mm-hmm.
So we got to set our budget, but the thing is, we have to raise half of it. They give us a chunk, which is $40,000, but we have to raise another $40,000 before we get any of the money. But then we get to use it all for the project.
Okay. Do you have any strategies how you might go about that? Maybe Kickstarter's big these days.
Yes, we are going to do a Kickstarter. We're also looking to beef up our class schedule. We're going to have merchandise. We did have bring some t-shirts with us to Hope that we're selling for $20. We're looking into starting an after-school program, and we're also going to start just doing like general fundraising events. Like we've thought about doing some Meet the Maker dinners in Philly to use some of our contacts there to invite people into a maker's studio and get to interview them and hang out and see what they do. And we're also looking to do a hacker masquerade ball in October. That should be really fun. So people can come to a couple of workshops and make their costumes and then bring them and show them off at the awesome party. Let's see, what else? I've also started talking to some of the other similar spaces in Philly about making a maker kit where you would assemble one part of the kit at each space. So you kind of get a tour of all the spaces. You get to do a fun, like, beginner activity, and at the end you have something that you've made, and hopefully you've met some other people with similar interests while you were doing the tour. So that might... We're aiming to have that available in the fall also.
But more immediately, over the next 2 weeks, we have an Intro to Sensors class. It's going to be mostly analog sensors.
Okay, super. Yeah, kind of wishing I was up in your area. That all sounds fascinating.
Thanks.
All right, we still got a few minutes left, or?
I talked a bit about our gender gap results yesterday and over the last couple times that we've done it. Do you have any particular recollections that you think are particularly worth sharing with, like, the Hope crowd?
I think... Yeah, I guess so. I wish I had known what you said, but that's okay. My impression was these stories are really valuable to get, like, a really personal experience of the gap and where it happens. Like, the fact is, we know that this gap exists, but my feeling is it's really hard to understand it or even know what to do about it if it's really an abstract thing. So I think these stories do a lot to get it into a tangible form where people can really start to understand it. I keep thinking about the fact that of the women that we've done it with, so many of them have had... Like, when we ask them to write down a negative story, that is not a problem at all. For some of them, I mean, everyone has a positive and negative story about something with technology. But the fact that when we did it yesterday with a group that had quite a few men in it, some of them kind of struggled with that, with saying, you know, I'm not sure what you mean by a negative story. And I was like, wow. So, I mean, it was great to hear that for some people, their lives are so entwined with technology that it's more like if they experience a negative thing, it's more like a learning curve, and they just push past it.
Right, right.
But for women, a lot of times they hear from various sources that they might struggle with technology or math or science, and when they experience a roadblock like that might be part of a normal learning curve, they think that they're just not good at it or they're not cut out for technology, and that is such a huge difference. And so that's why I think the stories are really valuable.
We heard a really interesting anecdote from one of our other volunteers last night. This happened to her very recently. I'm going to tell the story.
Okay.
So one of our volunteers just graduated from an art school with a great reputation, and her thesis project was this amazing dress. So she made a dress that had a proximity sensor in it, and had LEDs running through the dress in a really beautiful configuration. But the LEDs were intended to indicate anxiety as a person got closer and closer. She was playing with these. Boundaries between people and how technology, how misuse of technology can cause people to sort of munge up those boundaries that they wouldn't necessarily munge up in the absence of an iPod or, you know, whatever.
Right.
Or a cell phone. So she made this dress that really played with these ideas of how does technology affect our interactions. And so she was talking to somebody recently about it, and this is a man, and he was interested in what she was doing, kind of, and he made a comment like, "Well, that's, you know, that just makes so much sense that as a woman that you'd be doing this, because here we are, a bunch of dudes, we're hacking the system, and you're hacking your dress." And my head almost exploded when I heard that.
Yeah.
Because she's clearly hacking a pretty big system there, and it was really interesting to hear that. To hear his interpretation of her project and not understand the systematic hacking that she was doing.
Sure,
And clearly his interpretation of the system is something very different.
But he was still trying to be positive about it, which is nice, but it's like so far off the mark.
Yeah. And so how do you get into these like really deep laid assumptions?
Yeah, well that's pretty much getting into the like fundamental difference that men and women have understanding each other in the first place.
Potentially, I don't really believe in
potentially
in genetic predisposition.
Yeah, one thing actually that I was wondering last night when I was thinking about this, I think the next group that I would really love to get stories from are people who do not identify themselves as like tech people, mm-hmm. either men or women, because now I'm thinking. For men, I wonder what it's like to be in this world where it's assumed that part of your masculinity is tied up with being technology savvy. And if you
or
don't,
at least handy.
Sure.
Yeah, and
handy.
If you don't feel like you're up to par, how does that feel for you? How do you experience that?
Yeah. Sure. No, that's very interesting. That's very interesting and very valid. All right. We got a live stream coming up in just a few minutes. We got to get prepped for. But thank you very much for coming down.
Thank you.
Why don't you go through and pimp your sites and Twitters and whatnot one more time and introduce yourself or exit interviews again. I'm sorry. I have been up for well over 24 hours now,
okay.
So I'm a little loopy, so you have to bear
with
me.
That's
pretty sharp for 24 hours.
So, yeah. So again, I'm Georgia Guthrie, the director of The Hacktory, and you can find us at www.thehacktory.org or follow us on Twitter at @the_hacktory. And
I'm Stephanie Alarcon. I'm recently minted director of education and outreach. We're really happy to have been on, and thank you so much. And it's been a great hope.
Yeah.
It has been a great hope.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you all for coming out. And best of luck with your best of luck with the data. Can't wait to hear what we come up with.
Thanks.
Thanks a lot.